All right, welcome back to the Tool World Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Jew. I'm here with Master Jew.
How's it going there, Mr. Jew?
I'm doing pretty well.
Doing
How
good?
How are you doing?
Yeah, same.
So last week we talked a little bit about flexibility.
Continuation.
So we're continuing this week. So I have some controversial ideas.
Oh, all right. Well, tell me about it.
Opinions about it.
Tell me
and
about
so,
it.
And so tell me what you think, okay?
All right.
You know, they always say that the best time to stretch is after you work out. The muscles are warm. It is loose. My philosophy is that, in a competition sense, you should be able to just stretch cold. Because if I had to do a competition, it's got to be ready to go after one, two, or three side splits pretty fast.
Right.
And same in a self-defense situation, you don't have that time to stretch. So I think that
Wait a second, let me stretch out.
Yeah, let me stretch. So my philosophy is that to stretch on cold, so if you can stretch cold, you're ready to go. Okay, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, I think there's some validity to that. But I think that ultimately, well, I think what you're talking about is someone that has pretty good flexibility already. Mm-hmm. And can kind of just, like, if they had the front split, side split, whatever, they can just do it mm-hmm. without actually warming up a little bit.
Well, I'm saying for even those that aren't flexible. So if, like, I'm trying to work on that side splits, I just go jump out and I just go straight into it. I don't warm up or anything.
Right. Yeah, I do that. I think you have two different types of stretching, right?
Okay.
You got two. One is dynamic and one's static.
Yeah.
And in America, we like the static stretching, so you don't hurt yourself. Dynamic is that kind of, like kind of what I said about last week, where the guy grabbed some weights and they dropped it. That's kind of a explosive dynamic kind of a stretch, or mm-hmm. even kicks in some ways are dynamic stretching. So the higher you keep kicking, you're stretching out that muscle.
Right. Okay. All right, here's another thing I've been kind of thinking about recently. You can be super flexible and still have a bad looking kick. And you could be I'm not saying like not flexible, I'm saying like okay flexibility, but have a beautiful kick. And I'm talking a little bit about like side kick, because side kick is fundamentally very difficult to make beautiful, right?
Yeah, well that's true, because what we're really talking about are two different things. One is flexibility and one's taekwondo, right? Mm. So what I'm saying is that you could have a ballet dancer and it's got super flexibility and you look at the kick and go, nah, that's not the kick.
Right.
But they can bring it up high. It's just that they can't do the kick correctly.
Bring that up because sometimes I see a video and like they're really flexible, but they throw like that side kick and I'm like, ooh, it doesn't look that good. But then you can see other people and they're maybe not as flexible, but the kick looks really nice. Now that we look at away from the flexibility, what makes the kick look nice? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's different body position or the way the technique is being delivered. Right. I think if we talk about like side piercing kick, that might be the easiest one to describe, because you see that a lot in slow motion. It's kind of posed out there a little bit, like in competition. For me, what I'm looking for is how is it being delivered, right? It's going to be, when it finally is delivered, is specifically in a side piercing kick or maybe a back kick, is the heel, hip, shoulder in a straight line? Because a lot of times I see the butt stick out, and to me that doesn't look as nice. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons why I think that the straight line is better. It's kind of like punching. If your elbow's slightly bent, then you're going to be losing that little bit there. Foot position, obviously, how it's being delivered, like, and I think it just depends on how instructors might be teaching it. Like, I like the idea that the foot sword is leading all the way through and then finally hitting its target. Like, a lot of times I see the ball of the foot leading, and that has a lot to do with the leg is being chambered and then executed.
Right.
So
something that I kind of look for, like when I work on it, is the upper body portion of the kick.
Right.
So if you look at some people that have really nice kicks, is that the body is a little bit more upright.
Straight.
And then they're still getting the shoulder, hip, and the foot in a straight line as well. Right. So I think a lot of times you see people because they might kick high, but then they're going to like lean over a little bit. And I think that to have a beautiful kick, the upper body is also important. Unless you're WT and you kick straight up. And in that case, your head's then you have to go downwards because that's the only way to get a full splits to the air, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right or wrong? Well, I don't know. From a self-defense point of view, it's like you're not kicking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that tall, right? So you're only dealing with someone that's relatively your height, maybe a little bit higher. I mean, if you can do that, that's pretty amazing physical capabilities, regardless, you know, regardless of its actual good application or not. Like, I was kind of always wondered about, well, when you kick that high, like a side piercing kick, there's no power because the energy is going back the other way. Yeah, maybe, you know. Where is the maximum power? You don't want to break lots of boards. Where is that at?
Belt level.
Belt level.
Right.
But why is that?
Because it goes straight in.
It goes straight in because of the board holder, isn't
it?
Yeah. So when your kick goes up, but let's say even if it goes at a 45 degree angle and you have the boards there.
Yeah.
Right? So what's happening is the energy is going upward, but what it's doing is actually, let's say you had five boards, it kind of flips off the first two boards. It doesn't go straight in, it's got to go straight. The kick has to go straight into the boards to be able to break it, right?
Right.
But what if you do this where you take, because the board holder is basically 90 degrees to your kick, is that you want the boards to be 90 degrees to the kick. If you're going to kick 45 degree angle, you just got to create a board holder that angles the boards at a 45, and I would bet you could break five or six boards at that angle because it's going upward, because it's going straight into the board.
Right.
So for board holders, it's got to be about belt level for maximum power, just because the leg has to go straight in.
Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
And you could have one that's directly overhead.
But it's got to go straight up.
It's got to go straight up, right?
That's right.
But then you have to develop boards that don't fall.
And hit you on the head.
They got to just flap down, right?
Well, that's good conditioning. You got to be able to block those boards. Block that. Oh, here comes a board. It's coming at me. I got to block it. So what do you think? You know, you said earlier about go ahead and do the stretch right into it. Do you think you should go just jump right into it? Or would you kind of warm up and jump into it?
Well, I would think that the first stretch, even if you just do it, that's like the warm up.
Just slowly.
You got to
slowly get
open
into
it up. And then after that, then you can do it again.
Right.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That's kind of your warm up, isn't it?
That's a little warm up.
Baby warm up.
Baby warm up. But okay, so here's another one here. They say, oh, you don't really need to stretch too long. I see some people like on TikTok, but he doesn't do martial arts. He's just kind of a stretching kind of guy.
And he's got good flexibility.
Good flexibility.
Yeah.
Right? He goes, oh, you only need to do it for 30 seconds and then move on.
Did he say 30 seconds?
Yeah, something like that. Oh, I'll do this. And he'll do all these different flexibility stuff and 30 seconds. But
because I always kind of think 30
more?
Seconds.
Okay. Yeah. But should you do it multiple times in a session? So if I was working on the side splits, I hold it for 30. Do I do it again?
Or for 30?
Is that too much if I did three or four sets?
You know, for me, I kind of like to do it all day long.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, just do it for 30 seconds. Maybe do another one for 30 seconds. And then a little bit later, maybe in an hour later or something, I would put my leg up on the table and I would stretch on that for 30 seconds, you know. And then just kind of doing it a little bit here and there and not necessarily a training session, but for sure a training session, you know, you're working on that.
Right.
And that's what you're isolating.
So is there such a thing as too much stretching?
I don't know. I don't know if there's too much stretching. I think what you might have is you might be sore.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And as long as you don't overstretch and damage it, I don't think that that's an issue.
Right.
I just think if you just did it a little bit here and there. I was doing stretching last night and I was watching. It's like, I want you to go down and I want you to hold it for 30 seconds. Just count to 30. And what I found was a lot of them would go, they would be down for 10 seconds and then they would be back up. No. You got to hold it there for at least 30 seconds.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's not easy.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Right.
Or whatever it is. It hurts or whatever it is.
Right.
But that's what my thought. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think for me, it's broken as a 10, so you do 10, and then you push it down a little bit lower, 10, push it down a little bit lower, 10. And then once you're close enough, you try to do it with like no hands for 10 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. That's if you're not that flexible. I'm not super flexible.
Yeah, you're pretty flexible.
Yeah, but I'm not like naturally flexible. Something I have to work on.
Is there such a thing as a natural flexibility? Or is it something that we just are kind of, we worked on it?
Maybe. It seems like kids are more naturally flexible. Some kids.
Yeah, or, I think, again, it comes down to what their activities are. I don't know. Girls
are naturally more flexible because of the hip structure.
The pelvis is right. A little bit different. Right, no, that's true. I never thought of when I was, I definitely would say I wasn't very flexible when I was a kid. But I do know that after trying to improve on it, I was able to do the front splits, the side splits. And I remember one of my seniors. I mean, he was a tall guy, right? Mm-hmm. And but he had the full splits.
So it can be done.
Yeah, he talked about just kept on working on it and keep pushing it. So, okay.
Yeah.
You just keep trying and just keep working on it.
Right.
But you got to push it.
Right.
And you got to do it on a regular basis. If you're only doing it in class and you only come to class 2 times a week, it's probably not going to be too good.
Right. Don't forget to be safe.
Keep training and get that flexibility in there.
That's right. And we'll see you guys next time.
Taekwon.